Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Jocelyn Sambira at United Nations headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, how more private investment can provide a better future for rural people. And we'll hear from refugee women in Turkey benefiting from a new job training program aimed at empowering them. But first, a new UN project is highlighting how estimating the cost of violence against women in Arab countries can be an effective way of addressing this fundamental human rights violation. According to the UN Economic and Social Commission for Western Asia, ESQA, 37% of women in the Arab region report at least one form of physical or sexual violence during their lifetime. On Thursday, dozens of experts gathered at ESQA's headquarters in Beirut, Lebanon, to discuss an economic model for costing violence against women with the ultimate goal of effecting policy change.
When they came up with the figures, policymakers were shocked.
That's Merinaz Elawadi, the director of the Center for Women of ESQA, talking about the reaction of Egyptian policymakers when they learned about the economic cost of violence against women in their country. So far, Egypt is the only Arab country to have completed the costing exercise, a project now regionally led by ESQA in partnership with UN Women and the Institute for Women's Studies in the Arab World. Ms. Elawadi explains why a human rights approach to prevent violence is not enough, and why a more holistic approach is needed.
We need to show them figures. We need to tell them this is what you are losing when you're having women abused in the society, and this is what the economy is paying for that.
Joining 20 other gender experts, Yakin Ertuk traveled to Beirut from Turkey. As a former UN Special Rapporteur on Violence Against Women, Ms. Ertuk says it is important to underline that violence is unacceptable, first and foremost, because it is a human rights violation. But within the obligation that states now have to prevent harm, ensuring women's rights requires looking at the causes and consequences of violence.
That's where I think we can justify looking at the costing of violence, not as something that is a standalone, but something as a policy issue can be presented to states. In addition to what you're doing to ensure women's rights, you can also look at the cost and prevent this burden on society.
A main challenge of evaluating the cost of violence is access to accurate data. Colonel Eli El Asmar is the head of research and studies of the Lebanese Internal Security Forces. He's also responsible for training investigators who deal with cases of domestic violence. I asked him what percentage of women in Lebanon report this form of abuse.
Last year, we have around 50 to 70 cases of domestic violence.
50 to 70 cases within Lebanon as a whole, reported.
Yeah, it's all about culture. Step by step, things will be better.
Acknowledging some data limitations, ESQA will soon pilot the economic model in two Arab countries to show how estimating the cost of violence against women can impact policy change. Stephanie Kutrix, United Nations.
More private investment alongside public funding will provide a better future for rural people. That's one of the key ideas behind a two-day conference which took place in Rome, dedicated to rural economic development, hosted by the International Fund for Agricultural Development, IFAD. The international meeting, entitled Investing in Inclusive Rural Transformation, Innovative Approaches to Financing, is geared towards realizing the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals by better supporting smallholder farmers across the world. IFAD's Director of Global Engagement, Ashwani Mutho, told Matthew Wells what the main aims of the conference were.
We know that public investment is not going to be enough. That's where the private sector has a major role, but also others, especially these very large foundations as our partners like Gates Foundation, Rockefeller, and many others, including in developing countries.
Do women farmers have a particular role to play in this hoped-for transformation?
Women farmers are critical. We have data which shows that majority or a large number of labor in the farmlands are women. They have an important role to play, whether it's in the production cycle, whether it's in processing, or whether it's in marketing. So IFAD as an organization and the UN as a whole in general, but IFAD in particular, devotes special attention to the transformation and empowerment of women so that they can have greater opportunities for decision-making, both at the household level, community level, but also in political processes, and can engage in that development process more broadly.
obviously in many traditional societies, women have been held back. They are held back. I mean, how do you help, or how does the UN system overall help empower women in rural areas?
In our programs that we fund, we are very conscious about designing women's empowerment processes, taking into account domestic context, culture, religion, society, history. So we are very conscious of that. To give you an example, in Pakistan, which is an Islamic society, as you know, so we're very conscious when we engage in community mobilization involving women, we make sure that the trainers are women themselves and not menfolk. So we have certain approaches to make sure that they can be brought into the mainstream as well while protecting their heritage, culture and systems.
And in terms of having more sustainable agriculture in rural areas, how important are family units? Are women, in a sense, also is often the glue to families for actually creating an environment where smallholders can succeed?
We have clear evidence showing that in households where women are more empowered, that families have better nutritional status, their kids go to school, they have better education, better incomes. So women really have that central role to play. And that's why IFAD has invested significantly in women's empowerment.
A new project to empower women in the refugee camps of Turkey has been launched by the UN's Industrial Development Organization, UNIDO. Having fled conflict from countries like Syria and Iraq, they are being offered training in textile production with the aim of helping them find jobs and greater independence. Priyanka Shankar reports.
For the millions of refugees who live in refugee camps, earning a living and providing for their families continues to be a challenge. But in the refugee camps along the Turkish-Syrian border, the UN's Industrial Development Organization, UNIDO, has started a project which aims to make the women refugees self-reliant. UNIDO's Uzge Dursan told me the program trains women in textile production, giving them the skills required to work in modern clothing factories.
We set up almost little factories. We collaborated with the Union of Textile Exporters of Turkey. And in each three camps, we have set up 40 machines each. Our project is a unique one. And also, it's very, very strictly technical vocational training. So we didn't try to give them an ability to sew or knit or do anything, but more focused on making them factory workers once they finish the training. We managed to reach the most vulnerable people in the camps. They have children to look after, they have older relatives to look after. But we designed the hours so that they could go back home, for example, when their children comes from school.
Turkey hosts more than 250,000 refugees. Most of the women in these camps have lost their husbands or fathers, making them the sole breadwinners for their families. Ghazvi Mamur, a Syrian refugee at one of the camps, explains how the textile production training has become a ray of hope in her life.
When my husband died, I felt like everything stopped and all the doors had closed in my faith. There was no hope. When this training started, I realized that I could provide if I learned something. My family life would go on and not stop.
The training takes place for about 2 months, after which the women receive certificates from the Ministry of Education in Turkey. Textile workers like Sali Azak feel such training is important in order to get a job, as the industry prefers well-trained staff.
If we can't find qualified workers, our production drops and our business suffers. If we have to train the workers, then it costs us time and resources.
At present, according to Uzge Dursan, about 500 women have training certificates and are eager to work. Some have left the camps to get jobs in bigger cities. But for those still looking, they can practice their new skills making clothing for children and sometimes even host a fashion show inside the camp that for now they call home. Priyanka Shankar, United Nations.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jocelyn Sambira.